Hello, everyone.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Silas, and this is The Adventures of Kayla and Silas, a podcast about everything travel. Each week, we cover travel topics that we find interesting and that we hope you will, too. So, this week, we have a guest all the way from India. Chandrima, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. And thanks to the power of the internet and Google Hangouts, we're able to make this podcast a reality today. Woohoo!
Yeah, woo.
Anyway, Chandrima is a world traveler. She has lots of travel adventures and stories, and we want to learn more about your adventures and what inspires you to travel today. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into it and learn a little bit more about you. So just tell us about yourself and your travel background.
Sure, Silas. So I started, I think, getting really into traveling around 3 years ago. Of course, before that, I've traveled as a kid with my parents, but honestly, those incidents were not something that would that really drew me towards traveling a lot. So as I was growing up, you know, being a kid in India where you attach a lot of importance to studies and your academics and stuff, the same was applicable to me as well. So, you know, I kind of grew up putting more emphasis on your studies and went on to do a degree in engineering. No surprises there, as most of the people in my country do. And thereon, I even though I liked that subject, I kind of never got into a job. I don't know why, but then MBA seemed to be the in thing and that around that time. So I went on to study an MBA right after that. After engineering, and then I got into sales. Yeah, so I hated myself in that sales role.
Sales jobs are super draining for sure.
No, and as a person, I'm an introvert, so it's so difficult to talk to people I don't know. You know, even with friends and even with people that I know really well, it takes time for me to kind of open up and talk about, you know, things of interest and stuff. So imagine having to do that with people you don't know day in and day out. It was exhausting.
Oh, I bet.
I hear you.
Surprisingly, I was pretty good at it. But honestly, I didn't feel good about doing it, though. I mean, I've seen salespeople who really, really get a kick out of closing a sale and, you know, getting that big win. But for me, it was like, I used to just, you know, heave a sigh of relief once something is done. I'm like, okay, done, dusted.
Yeah.
So yeah. I wasn't really enjoying it. And I thought I would be better at customer support. So I moved on to a role in customer support afterwards. I was enjoying it definitely more than sales. And honestly, I was working with one of the best companies in the world, who really, really used to pamper us. Like, it pampers all its employees. Like, but I had everything. But then something was amiss. As in, I realized, I don't know, is this something that I want to do for the rest of my life? And I wasn't sure, and I wasn't not even too keen at, you know, to continue that for the rest of my life. But the biggest thing that this company gave to me was the opportunity to travel, and that's how I kind of developed the love for it. So the first time that I actually ventured out on my own was for a training, and they sent me to Singapore. So this was I think 3 years back. Yeah, and that was like my first solo travel experience the first time. And something weird happened when I was out there. I used to focus less on the training itself and just wait for the day to get over so I could just walk out and explore the city on my own. And it felt awesome. It was just out of this world. I still remember I was out at, some 12 at night. Streets of Singapore deserted, very quiet, unlike what you see in the daytime. And it felt so...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt liberating to be there. And ever since I came back from there, I spoke to my husband and we were like, we have to plan the next one right away.
Oh, yeah.
And So between the two of us, although we like traveling together a lot, I'm more of the person who decides where to go next and, you know, when we should be going and let's book the tickets right now. He was more of the sort who's like, let's save up a bit more and we'll just do it next year maybe. And I'm always the one like, no, we need to do it right now. Let's do that. So that's how it actually started. And since then, it's been awesome. It's like the thing that I look forward to the most. And very, I don't know, I mean, had it been me a few years back, I wouldn't have been able to take the step. But what I did recently was that I decided, you know, 7 years into the corporate work life, I'd had enough. I wanted to do something different. So one fine day, I just thought of quitting. I didn't know what I'm going to do next. I had no idea, but I thought I'll figure it out. And it's definitely time to do something that makes me happy. So basically what I did this last August, is when I kind of quit my job. And then I thought I'll just take a while to kind of think things through and then decide what I want to do next. The good thing was there was already a travel planned in September, and we were supposed to go to Paris.
Oh, fun.
Brussels and Amsterdam. So I was really, really looking forward to that trip. And I thought, let me just come back from that trip and then decide what I want to do afterwards. Suddenly, I mean, it was like, I would say, incidentally, it was not something that was pre-planned or something. I got into this writing thing. I thought maybe, you know, why not? When I have time on my hands and I'm not doing anything right now, let me just take up blogging. And that's how I started my travel blog in a very small way. And I realized I had been missing my love for writing for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I actually landed a job in writing. So right now I'm also working on my blog part-time. And I have like a day job, which is again into writing.
Oh, cool.
So I know, like, completely different from what I have studied and worked, like from engineering to sales to customer support and now all the way back to writing. But the biggest thing is that I feel truly, truly at peace and I feel happy doing what I am right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
very cool. That's a long road to getting yourself to a travel lifestyle, but it's a really cool journey. And I don't know, that's exciting stuff to be able to find yourself in a place that you are enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you feel at peace with it, because not everyone gets to say that. And
I know. Yeah.
Very cool. So I guess with all of the trips that you've taken then, what type of travel do you tend to do most often, or how would you categorize your preferred style of travel?
So we try and do, you know, budget travels, of course, like, but we don't mind splurging, you know, in bits and pieces, like a certain experience or, yeah, we'd like to save money probably on the stay and not spend lavishly on a hotel, in a luxury suite or something. But
right.
Again, we would not really choose backpacking or staying in hostels either. So somewhere around the mid-range,
yeah.
Which is affordable.
We feel very similarly.
Yeah. It's just something that's affordable and comfortable as well. So that would be my traveling style.
Very cool. Yeah, we try to do the exact same thing, because with hostels, a lot of time we're not able to share a room, just the two of us. And so we would prefer to just have a room to ourselves so that we can, at the end of the day, not have to be on. I feel like when you're traveling in hostels, you're constantly meeting people and you're hanging out with all kinds of different people, which is a lot of fun. But after a long day of walking around the city or exploring,
you just want to eat cookies in bed.
Yeah, you just want to have downtime to yourselves.
Yeah.
Very cool. So it sounds like you've traveled a lot of different places.
Not a lot. I think it's just about, in terms of countries, it's been around 11 so far.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, we know lots of people who would say 11 countries is a lot of countries. So it does depend on your frame of reference, I guess.
No, my frame of reference from where I'm coming, I just think there's a lot more to cover. So I'm coming from there.
So I guess you have been to some interesting places, let's say that for the time being. But what are some of your favorite destinations that you've visited? And where would you like to go back, or where would you recommend other people visit?
I think my favorite, most favorite destination would be Santorini in Greece. That has been like, it was just out of this world. And everybody that I've spoken to, you know, people who know that I've been there, have always, always recommended that place. It's just too good to be true. And if given a chance, I'm definitely going to go back there time and again. That's one of my favorites. And I think comes close to that is Key West. I love Key West as well.
Oh, really? What about both places, I guess, stood out to you as amazing?
I think I have a thing for islands in general, because it's like a little quieter, away from the hustle of the city life. It's a little different, kind of exotic. And it's just like, I feel like those places are somewhere you can just gaze off into the ocean and spend hours just doing nothing. And of course, there's great food. Great food, great drinks to keep you company. And it's just a different vibe. Like, I love islands.
That's super fun. Yeah, we've been to a couple of islands, but I don't know.
I think we prefer the hustle of a city.
We do. I think because we grew up in the Midwest in the United States, it's so quiet regularly that we are looking for something that is new and different, and a big city is typically new, is very different from where we grew up. So
I do love the big cities as well, but like New York is one of my favorites.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I love Paris as well. Those are like my absolute favorites when it comes to cities.
Paris was a lot of fun when I got to visit. It was very different than I imagined it being, because it was a big city. I thought, oh, this is a big city, it's going to have a big city feel, but it felt very walkable, and I was able to navigate it very easily, and there was just so much to see around every corner that it didn't feel like the downtowns of other places I've been. It felt very, very different.
I haven't been in a long time.
Kayla went when she was 13, 12. How old were you?
14.
14. She was 14 last time she went. And so she's completely forgotten Paris, but oh well, you know, that's your own problem.
I just don't have
problem.
An adult comparison.
So interesting thing about New York was, you know, the time that we went there, it was the same time when the blizzard, it hit New York around that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was like a bizarre experience of my life. I had never seen snow before. Okay, coming from a tropical country.
I was going to say, you don't get a lot of snow in India.
First snow experience, and you're like almost getting blown over. It was pretty freaky, man. But also fun.
Your first experience with snow is a blizzard.
Crazy. And then I think there was this one entire day that we were at home, and we couldn't venture out at all. But just made my way down. Like I was staying with a friend in New Jersey, and we just went downstairs to near the porch and kind of got down into the snow to get a feel of what it is like outside.
Oh, fun!
It was
That's crazy. Awesome. It's more fun to play in the snow when it's not quite that cold or windy.
Oh, yeah. And the fun part was the day after, actually, when the storm was over. And I still had to go out because, I'm on a schedule, right? I need to see the city.
Right.
So both me and my friend, we venture out. And the slush is there, like, everywhere. And our boots have gotten wet. I did not have snow boots with me. I wasn't prepared for it at all.
Oh.
And that the icy cold water biting into my toes. And every 10 minutes we were walking and then getting into some store or some place where we could just warm our feet for a while and then come back into icy cold water again.
Oh my gosh.
Hilarious. But yeah, it was fun. Really, really fun.
That does sound, sounds like a good memory, but not something that was fun in the moment for sure.
You'll have to come back in the summer.
Yeah, come back when it's not so cold there.
Yeah.
So you've kind of touched on it, and but if you could just talk a little bit more about what you love most about travel.
I think the best thing about traveling is, you know, you get to see how people in a different part of the world live, like a different culture, and how different it is from yours. And you get to learn a lot, I think, from that. It's just about, like, just gives you a lot of exposure, and you kind of feel like your problems and your worries, they're just a tiny speck in the vast ocean out there. And you just kind of feel insignificant compared to the world out there. Like, there's so much more to it, you know? I just cannot keep on cribbing about. I didn't get something, or, you know, like, I had a tiff with my friend or something or the other. But it's just like, there's so much more to life than just, you know, petty issues. So I think that's the best part about traveling.
Absolutely. No, that's something that we talk about regularly, that we wish more people had the opportunity to travel and see other cultures and see different parts of the world, because it really does help to put things in perspective and gives you a better understanding of what really is important. And it helps to eliminate biases. Yeah. And I'm going to look it up. There's a good quote from Mark Twain. I'm going to look it up, because otherwise I'm going to ruin the whole thing. But Kayla, what do you agree? You and I talk about this a lot.
Oh, and now I talk.
Now it's your turn. Get in there, Kayla. Don't be afraid. The water's good.
One of the most important parts of travel is this idea of debunking myths about different people in the world, that at the end of the day, if you walk into a supermarket in Europe or in Asia or in South America, you'll be interested to read the labels on the packages or see how food might be different, but there's still going to be pretty much the same stuff at the supermarket. You know what I mean? Like, that's just one example.
Yeah. Well, we just talked about it last week, where it's good to look at your experiences during travel as a Venn diagram. So you have the two circles, you know, my experience back home, my experience or the experiences here in this new destination. And as you look at the two circles, you start to recognize that they actually merge quite a bit. So there's that center part where you share a lot of the same experiences from back home with the people that you interact with at your new destination. But then you also get to look at the parts that are very different. But I found this quote from Mark Twain. It says, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts."
Oh, yeah.
"Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's life."
You know what? I have that quote on my About Us section on my blog. Let's see.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Well, I should have just said, have you heard of this Mark Twain quote? And you would have said, yeah, it's on my website if you'd checked it out.
No, but just means, you know, how we kind of think alike on those lines, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get crazy for a second. Let's get hilarious. Tell us. You mentioned the snow, but I feel like you might have some funnier, crazier stories from your travel adventures.
And some embarrassing ones, too.
Okay. We all do.
We all have those.
I think.
So what do you got?
Yeah, one of the most embarrassing ones was on my first visit to the U.S. Okay. And, you know, when you're not familiar with the tipping cup.
Mm.
Okay.
So this was in L.A. And I was actually close to the Venice Beach. And I was trying to go to Santa Monica. And it is like a bit of a walk. And it got in dark, so I thought I'll take a cab. And there was this nice cab driver standing right there. And when I walked up to him, he said that, you know, if you go alone, it's a short distance, it's going to cost you quite an amount of money. But there was this another lady who wants to go in the same direction. So why don't you two share the ride and you can just pay me about, you know, just half the fare. So that sounded good.
Sure.
Yeah. So we both got up and I remember, I think the fare was 9.15. Yes, $9.15. And when I was supposed to get down. So I handed him a $10 bill. And then I kept waiting in the cab. Because in India, the way we're used to it is that I'm expecting the change back. He should be giving me back the change. I hadn't realized that he's actually waiting to see if I can give him a tip. On top of that $10, of course. And sat like an idiot out there. And then, you know, he just mumbled something about, you know, like, remember this kindness that I offered or something along those lines. And he gave me back a dollar.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, thank you for that 15 cents that you spared me on this trip.
He, in fact, gave me 15 cents back.
Remember this kindness. Okay, yes. Yeah. I will gladly give you that 15 cents back. We
like
desperately need it.
Disappear somewhere. Just disappear. I don't want to be seen anywhere around this guy.
How long did you sit there? Did it feel like
hours or was it probably a minute? And I was wondering, why isn't he giving back my change? And what is going on? What is going on? And probably he must have been thinking the same thing. Why isn't she getting off? And why isn't she?
Yeah, she already gave me money. Is she going to give me more money? Is she just, what's she waiting for? Oh, man. That's too funny.
To be fair, where we grew up, there's no taxis.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we're also bad at, like, taxi tipping in the U.S.
When I first got to, I think the first taxi that I ever took was when I was in...
Studying abroad
in college, when I went to university. And so I was, I don't know, 22 years old, something like that, before I'd taken my first taxi. So
I don't remember mine.
We would have had no idea what to do either in that situation. I would have been sitting there waiting for my change as well. He would have given me a dollar and said, remember this kindness. And I would have remembered. I wouldn't have known what to do with it, but I would have remembered. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I got one more. Yes, this was, again, okay, I think I have a thing for the U.S. This was in Vegas. And
uh-oh. You know the rule. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
And this was a company-sponsored trip, all right? And it was basically a sales kickoff that we had that year. And the annual sales kickoff. And they kind of put us up in the Aria in Vegas. And so mm-hmm. we were super excited about that because I don't know if I were to travel alone, I'd be staying in a place like Aria at all. So we were just completely, bowled over by all of that. And yeah, so I was sharing the room with a friend of mine and the controls in the room was something I had never seen before. It was kind of like motion sensors and all kinds of weird gadgets around. What I hadn't realized was when the alarm sets off, okay, so the room has like a central control system sort of thing. It's like a tablet from where you can call room service if you want or all kinds of other stuff. You control the TV remote and everything. And there's an alarm also built into that, which I hadn't realized at the time. So how it was configured is that when the alarm goes off, your curtains will open all by themselves and the TV will go on and all the lights in the room. So it was 3 a.m. and suddenly I see the TV switched on, lights have gone on, and the curtain slowly, you know, just opening.
That's so creepy.
I got out of my wits. I was like, what the hell is this? Like?
Oh, no. That's so nerdy.
Wait, why did the alarm go off?
I think the alarm was just set at that particular time. I don't know. I mean, I had not checked it or anything.
Somebody probably who stayed in the room before you
probably
was like, wouldn't it be funny if everything went off at 3 in the morning while someone's trying to sleep?
Oh, man, it was so spooky.
No, it's not funny. I'm trying to sleep.
Even if I have an alarm set, I don't want light and TVs
waking you up anyway.
No.
The spookiest thing, though?
No, imagine the curtain starting to open by itself. Like, it just goes.
I know, right? I would have just held myself under the covers, like with the covers right up under my nose so that I could look around to make sure that nothing else was going to happen. I probably would have stayed in bed for like another 15 minutes just waiting to see if the poltergeist was going to come out of the television or, you know, like the movie The Ring or something.
I don't think that's a normal U.S. hotel experience.
It is not. I mean, our hotel, we're in a hotel room right now and I'm pretty sure it doesn't do that. Or if it does, we haven't figured out how to yet. Oh my gosh.
No, we have to actually flip the switches here, I think, to get the lights on.
That's too funny. That's amazing. The last thing that we wanted to talk about, we try to educate people on travel and give them advice for making their trips better in the future or giving them the opportunity to travel. And so we're just curious, what advice do you have for our listeners so that they, especially if they're looking to take trips that are similar to yours or destinations similar to yours, what advice do you have for them about travel?
I think it's not just about travel. It's about anything that, you know, if somebody wants to do something that they like or love, I think you should just totally go out and do it, because things have a way of falling into place. You know, you might not imagine that they will, but it just does. So you got to take that first step, be bold enough to take that first step, and eventually it's all going to work out. So if it comes to traveling, and if you think, you know, something's stopping you, just, you know, be logical about it. Nothing can stop you from doing something that you really love. Of course, the key to traveling, you know, saving some money and traveling on a budget, of course, is planning way early. So that's what I do as well. And the flights are something that's going to cost you the most. So if you can get, you know, some good deals on your flights, you know, when you plan early, maybe like at least 6 months or at least a good 3 months prior to your trip, you get some good deals on your flight tickets as well. So that kind of cuts down on the overall cost a lot. And then I think just take it from there. And there are a lot of things that you kind of pick up over the years as you start traveling. Like if there are some, you know, complimentary tours or, you know, like just some, like in Paris, I found Discover Walks. They kind of conduct these free tours, which are really, really informative. And you just have to kind of tip the guide. And that's like, you know, whatever amount, there's nothing specified in there. But it's really nice to kind of go along with them as a tour group. You're not spending a great amount on it, but you're getting to learn a lot, you know, just by exploring a neighborhood which you otherwise wouldn't have gone to, you know. So I think if you just look at those little things of planning well, then, you know, you can definitely do what you want.
That's great advice.
That is great advice.
Super motivational. I would try and recap it, but you said it better than I would have. So that's very, very
cool. I feel like she and I are kindred spirits.
I think so. I think so. Kayla loves planning and is very much of the mindset that if you believe that you can go do something, you can just go do something. And she doesn't let a lot of things get in her way, which sometimes I refer to her as a tour de force or a tornado or a Hurricane Kayla or something. She doesn't stop. And it's very scary.
I was actually telling my husband about you guys, like your plan for visiting Latin America for a year, I guess. Yeah, I was telling him about that and I was like, look, these guys are planning an entire year. Can you imagine? Like,
We are still trying to imagine
it. We're still trying to imagine. It's intimidating, but we just knew that if we didn't take the opportunity, if we didn't make the opportunity for ourselves to do this now, that it wasn't going to be a possibility for us, you know, a year or two down the road or 3 years down the road. Life tends to get in the way if you let it.
Yeah.
And so right now we're trying to make this a priority. So yeah, stay tuned for more information on that. Because that'll be crazy.
I think we've already changed the route.
Yeah.
We were going to start in Chile and go north. Okay. But now I think we're starting in Mexico and going south.
Oh.
We'll see.
Okay.
Who knows? The day before, we might just start right in the middle and then do like a big circle, concentric circles until they spiral. Get larger and larger. Yeah, spiral. That's the word I'm looking for. And it gets larger and larger. And we'll just, cover a lot more ground that way. It'll take longer, but we will cover more ground.
That is amazing.
I don't think that's how South America looks.
And that's our show. As always, we ask that you leave any questions you have in the comments section below, or if you have a specific question, feel free to email us directly or connect with us on social media. Our email address is kaylansilas@gmail.com. Plus, we'll be adding information so you can get in touch with Chandrima in the show notes as well. You are on Facebook, Twitter,
yes,
Instagram,
yes,
and you have a blog, and where else are you at?
Pinterest.
Yeah. Perfect. We will include links to all of those things so that you can follow her adventures as well. Once again,
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Silas, wishing you luck with your upcoming adventures.